Renew your vision. Time to renew your vision. Of course, this topic is on any kind of ministry and service to God, personal service to God, your servanthood in the church for Jesus, servanthood wherever you are. And so, as an introduction, I want to say that every year we get a chance to change and renew our vision. Every year, people of every kind of personality, they get a chance to change whatever adjustments they need to make throughout the year about their vision. But we don't have to wait every year when the calendar turns over. We can do that anytime. So every year, a new year can be every time you want a change in your life. You can make an adjustment. So, but this is a good time to talk about vision, to talk about plan, because everybody is making adjustments. There's work adjustments, there's employment. Maybe your career is changing, maybe your family is changing, maybe you're doing something different this year, occupation-wise, professional. In your own personal life, you decide to do certain things. I pulled out something I sent to my wife yesterday. It was a plan of 2015. And I wrote down what I wanted to happen in my life and also in the ministry, and I did every one of those things. Amen. Except get rich, which, I'm already rich. Amen. So the Bible says so. So if you're not seeing your vision properly, you need to, adjust something. The Bible, somebody said if your eyes are not seeing properly, and I know different ones I talked to here had vision adjustment. They went to see a professional, somebody to fix their eyes, and they see 20/20. Now, I think some of my friends here had some adjustments with that. I think I might have to go get one. Some people have trouble with the scraping of the what do you call these things? Cornea, whatever it is, they adjust that. My dad had his done in his 80s. He told me one day, he came home, he said, "I have two Cadillacs." And I said, he's talking about his cataracts, I guess. And so I was glad. I thought he was going to give me one of them. So man, he's got two Cadillacs. Anyways, he got his Cadillacs done. And thank God he's up there now. Praise God. So if you're not seeing properly, you need to see a doctor. Right, and get some adjustments for your eyes, so to correct your vision. So many people naturally, they can't see their future because they need a correction in their vision, and they can't see any reason why they can get better this year than last year. They say, "Oh, it's going to be the same." Yeah, somebody said, "Whatever you say, you get whatever you say." People always say that, but it's true. The Bible talks about that. We need to start speaking good things and prophesying what God says in our lives. Decree, I see in the scripture says, decree a thing and it shall come to pass. I see that in Job. So many people, they get tired serving God. They get tired of serving God in their personal lives at times. Or a ministry, if you're a pastor or minister, you might get tired and you lose sight because you lose sight. I talked to a man the other day. When I came into ministry, I really admired this man. He had all kinds of stuff going. But he jumped out after about 5 years. He was ahead of me 5 years. I think he might have stayed about 10. Called me up the other day. After some 40 years calling me, he wants to go back into ministry. But he's picking up where he was before. But you can adjust yourself, even if you've been away for 40 years. And I've seen people fall off the map in terms of ministry. I've had many, many friends who just left the ministry. And I don't plan to retire soon. So guys, praise God. It takes many people to complete a vision, right? And it takes people around you to help you out with the vision. So don't lose sight. so we can complete our vision no matter what it is. So it doesn't matter who we are in life, if you're a support staff here or support staff in any other place, if you're in an organization and you're not running their organization, you can feel tired serving the vision wherever you are. If you're in leadership in a church, if you're in a business, personal business, private business, monkey business, whatever kind of business you have, you can get tired of it. But thank God that we can renew ourselves and correct ourselves. So I want to just speak to you, and the point today I want to make is that you need to refocus. Refocus your vision. Refocus your vision, and don't be distracted by anything that comes your way. You stay focused. It's easy to get distracted. I mean, you might stand strong right now. You might just jump up and down. The music's going on. People around you laughing and, you know, having a great time. But, you know, hard times do come. Everybody's against you. You know, all your relatives turn against you. You don't have any money. I mean, things are going wrong. Your body's falling apart. Different things. And then you need to figure this out. It's between you and God what you're going to do. So don't lose focus. Proverbs 29:18, our scripture, is where there is no vision. I'm reading the King James here. The people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. We're more happier with following God, right, than doing our own thing. I want to read Proverbs 29:18 in the TPT translation. So it says here, when there's no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. You know, we can lose sight of what God wants us to do. And I believe God's interested in everything about our lives. He wants us to have the right job, to be in the right atmosphere. I think some people are in the wrong job sometimes, maybe the wrong field. Maybe they've done it because someone wants them to do it. Maybe their community wants them to do it. Maybe they feel everybody else wants them to do it. And many years ago, I had the same thing where I felt, I should do this because this is what my First Nations need. I should do this. I should go into politics. I should, you know, become a lawyer or do something like that. So I was just swayed in different areas because I felt whatever people needed, I wanted to be that. And so you can be persuaded by your family, your children, and everything like that, situations. So we need a clear prophetic vision from God. So everybody needs vision. And without a vision, you will drift away from what God has called you to do. There'll be many things in life that will distract you into another area for whatever reason. The devil will send many things your way to take you away, to take you, lead you astray. He will confuse you with maybe misinformation, disinformation, and many other things that might distract your vision. He'll send all kinds of troubles. You know, people say, well, you know, every time they make a plan, they start, you know, saying, so this is what I'm going to do, and so on. And all of a sudden, you know, the devil comes in, and that's why they don't say anything, because they don't want to let the devil know. Anyways, we need to let him know that we know that he knows and we know that he doesn't know. Praise God. Something like that anyway. So he'll send you all kinds of troubles. He will send discouragement. How many of you ever been discouraged this year? How many of you ever been one time at least? Well, it was only like 25% of you. The rest of you, I don't know how you do it. But everyone will get discouraged at some point in life. In fact, I was discouraged this morning when I saw the snow again. I just cleared the snow, and there's more snow again. I was telling my wife, you know what? There's something about going away to the south. If it wasn't for Jesus and what his plan was, I'd be gone. How about you? Right? So I was so happy when there's no snow. I thought, this is going to be the first time ever that we'll never have any snow. But I guess we need snow. So we need snow somehow. But, you know, the scripture says, as long as the earth remains, snow will be here. Lord, sorry about that. How many of you are going to pull out your snow machine, right? So anyway, so God will make a way. In fact, sometimes, you know, the devil can make it a little bit comfortable for you to go and do certain things. Even the good things in life can take you off away from the things of God. Because it says in Mark chapter 4, it says the good things in life, right? Mark chapter 4, you read it. Good things in life takes people away from the plan of God, right? All the glitter and glamour of life, the distractions of this world, right? And I saw something there what Paul told Timothy. He said, all these other people, he says that all these kinds of people, they left him because they loved this present world. Because there's certain things, you know, can take you away, not just bad things, but good things. Just take you away from the plan of God. I mean, you check it out. It's in the Bible. And my wife and I, we read that Bible last night. I said, my plan was, you know, I read my Bible. We read together every night for the last 100 years. We've been reading the Bible every night since we went to Rhema in 1998. Miss Lynette gave us a Bible. She said, read this Bible every day. So my wife and I, since 1998, read the Bible every night. That's pretty good for a couple. She stays on her side. I stay on my side. So anyway, let's read the NLT. Proverbs 29:18 says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they'll run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Somebody said it's far better being in the will of God than doing your own thing. You know, the devil likes to tell you it's better for you to do your own thing. So follow the vision that God planned for you, that God gave you. Sometimes, you know, we need to look at this very closely. Let's talk about vision for a second. The term vision used to designate, you know, the term vision used to designate the word vision itself, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament have to do with seeing and perceiving in both testaments. The Old Testament terms for vision in the Hebrew verbs, the verb actually is R-A-A and haza, H-A-Z-A. And there are several noun derivatives. All mean the same thing. It means this, simply to look at or to see. Both from the, you know, this word. It means both, it means to see, to look at or to see. As you can understand, we need to readjust our vision. You never adjust your vision in your mirror? You know, you have to do that regularly. Especially when someone short drives for you. So the Bible word for vision more often is used, you know, and sometimes in some incidents is an encounter with God where he imparts a vision, a special vision for you. That's what the word is used. Sometimes God will talk to you. Like for me, over there in 1998, somewhere on there, I think it was 99, we were in the, 89, excuse me, it was 89, 90, when I went to do my master's, and the Lord visited me in my car, and he told me, what is the PhD going to do for what I've called you to do? And Jesus came in there, and I talked to my wife, I said, the Lord just put this into me. We sat down, had a coffee, we said, the Lord called us to the ministry. And she knew right away that what God called me, she never questioned me. She knew that God put in her heart. You know, God has to put in your heart as well, right? So if God told over here Nathan something and his wife didn't get it, either his wife is stupid or dumb or she doesn't want to do it. Or God didn't tell it to him. Because God would tell her the same thing he told him. He's not going to confuse you. He's not going to tell a wife one thing or a husband one thing and cause them to fight. He doesn't cause fights, right? So the word means that, you know, it means that God will give you an encounter at times, if he needs to, or he will impart a vision in your heart. Everyone will know that. And we don't have to go and push off our vision on somebody, you know, and tell somebody, you know. In fact, you shouldn't even tell anybody. Maybe somebody you might know that needs to know about it. Like, I didn't tell everybody. I told my wife about it, that God asked me, you know, what you're going to do about this. And so, oftentimes, we don't know what God wants us to do. I mean, hey, listen, if I didn't have a prophetic vision, I wouldn't do what I'm doing, I'll tell you right now. I wouldn't waste my time. It's not a waste of time, by the way, to do what I'm doing. But it wasn't the most popular thing to do, to go into ministry and to leave your career and to do all these things that God has called you to do. And it wasn't easy, as Paul, we'll see Paul here mentions as well. And sometimes when God calls you to do something, it's not always easy to follow his plan, because you'll have different things going on there that'll dissuade you from going on. So the Hebrew word for vision is chazon. In the Hebrew, it refers to visual representations of God's will. So this word refers to revelation or divine word. And that's where I like that TPT. He says, unless you have a divine word from God, divine vision from God, you know, you're going to just do your own thing. And then you'll be scattered and just running from job to job and different things, just satisfied, dissatisfied, you know, not happy about things. And you know something's wrong. Somebody said, you know, when I was doing something that was not God's plan, it was like washing my feet with my socks on. I was doing something proper and right, but it was not. There was something still not, there was something missing there. How many of you wash your feet with your socks on? Yeah. Well, you wouldn't do that normally, but it's what it's like. If you just know, I remember my wife and I were looking for church. We went to different places. I didn't know anything about spiritual things. We were just brand new, and we just said, okay, where are we going to go to church? Okay, let's try this one. Let's try this one. And we walked into this one church, and we just said, this feels like home. The decor wasn't something. They didn't have a wonderful choir or anything. But it just felt this is where you're supposed to be. So everyone will have that divine revelation on the inside of them, what God wants them to do in life. And it's not too late. Right? You can always turn back to God. Let me talk about the spies who lost vision. Okay? Let's go ahead and read Numbers chapter 13, verse 25 to 33. I'll read the New Living here. And find out what occurred with those 10 spies. It says in there, or at least 12 spies, 10 out of the 12 spies that Moses had sent to spy out the land. 10 of them lost vision or misinterpreted the plan. How many people know that God can tell you something, but you misinterpreted, you added on to what God said to you, and you went in another direction? Because God can legitimately give you something, and you run ahead of God and get into trouble. Yes, God did say that. He didn't say it right now. He didn't say you should do this. He just gave you something, and you let God work out the plan. So these guys got distracted doing the first thing that God told them. They added on to the vision. They got into unbelief and fear. They lost the plan and went another direction. They all later died prematurely. God didn't want those guys to die early over there in the desert, in the wilderness. 2 out of the 12 spies kept the vision because they stayed focused. This happened to people in ministry and other business affairs. This is happening all the time. Make sure this doesn't happen to you. What did God call you to do? Whatever he called you, if he called you here, you stay here until God releases you. Not until you get mad at me. Just look in the eye and let's work this out. Right? You punch me, I'll punch you. You know, no, we don't punch. We just talk about you. No, we don't do that. That's why we have leadership development. Let's go to verse 25. Did you find the scripture? Hebrews 13, 25 to 33, New Living. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel, of Kadesh, in the wilderness of Paran. They reported the whole community what they had seen, and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report. We entered the land where you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a beautiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and the towns are large and fortified. Even we saw giants there, descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country. Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, along the Jordan Valley. And Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at it at once and take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are." So they spread the bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land that we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes there to live there." And all the people we saw were huge. Huge. Everybody say huge. Huge. You'll just say huge.
Huge.
Sometimes, you know, it's good to visualize something, right? Because sometimes, you know, you don't think about it. But because you're so focused on what you see, you get distracted, right? Because the problem is too big. It's impossible. Well, God specializes in the impossible, right? He'll call you to do things that you never had any actually, as they say, you know, we have this saying in Ojibwe, yeah, no business, you know, no business going there. But God, if God called you, you do have business there. But naturally speaking, you don't. Verse 33, we saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what we thought, too. So when you're looking at something, a huge problem, I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're this year. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's physical. It's a huge area. Maybe the doctor says, you know, your body is breaking down, and you're thinking about doing something. But that's a huge thing. You know, but for God, he can help you. It's difficult sometimes to see beyond what your eyes see and how you feel about things. You ever notice some people say, "Well, I'll see how I feel. I come to church Sunday, oh yeah, I see how I feel. I don't feel too good right now." Yeah, but God can heal you between 3 days. Right? If you're confident, say, "Yeah, I'll be there." Right? And I'll make everybody sick too. So you have to be in faith, right? Right? So the vision God gave them through Moses, their leader here, the majority misinterpreted what God said to them. They got into fear and they wanted an easier way. They didn't want to fight those giants. If they say, "Hey, if God's for us, we can do it." And Caleb and Moses and those guys, they said, "Yeah, we can take these guys. We got God as well. Who can be against us if God's with us?" So they got all negative and they got all fearful. So I don't know about you, maybe this year you have something in your plan that God has for you, and maybe fear has crept in there. Maybe you've been negative about it. You say, "Oh, this is the same. We've done this every year. How is it going to work this year?" 33 years now has gone by. We've done the same thing. Hey, maybe try 34.
Amen.
Right? And it's going to be different this time. And you have to be determined. This will be different. Right? Maybe you'll die this year. No, we won't think that way. That's the way people think, though, right? "Oh, what if I die?" Well, what if you die? You'll be good. So no one's supposed to die at Christmas time, but every year I do funerals, right? And it's horrible. I mean, who wants to go to a funeral? I do funerals in the most inconvenient times. And there's a time there I told the pastor, I said, "I'm not doing one more funeral." I was doing like 2 months. During COVID, it was crazy. People are dying like flies. You know, you think about our roads. I know people, you know people who've died on the roads recently, right? And they're having crashes. I know And my cousin had a crash there. And friends of ours or people, acquaintances we know. And everyone knows someone on the highway. And I've heard from the government the other day, they said, yeah, it's bad out there. So I hope they do something about it. So there's not going to be any softer way, guys. There's nobody going to come and say, hey, listen, I'm going to help you out with your vision. Right? No one's going to knock on your door. I walk out sometimes with my dogs at night, 11 o'clock. I'll take them outside for pee. I'll look around. They look around. They like looking around things. They look in the bush and see something there. And I look too. But there might be something there. I don't know what they're looking at. But sure enough, sometimes I was so mad at Solo one day. We're walking down the road. And he keeps pulling me. I said, okay, go. He went, and a skunk was there. And he just said, wah! And he's rolling around after it. And then, oh, man, we brought him in the house. The whole place smelled.
Oh, yeah.
My wife said, see, I told you. Hold on to the dog. But every time we go out at nighttime, I said, Solo, is there a skunk there? He goes, he knows about the skunks now. Some of you will get skunked maybe. You need a skunk sometime to change your vision. So don't lose your vision by these things that are affecting you. You know, fear shouldn't affect you. People say, be courageous. What does that mean? It means this interpretation in the Hebrew and the Greek. Everybody wants to know the Hebrew and the Greek. I know a couple of them. Anyways, one makes a salad. The other guy's a baker. Anyway, let's just forget that. So we need to get focused, right? We need to get focused. So you lose vision when you allow the devil to get into your head. Don't let them get in your head. That's why the Bible says, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you examine closely the words, the thoughts that come to your mind, and you think, is that, would God tell me that? And you're walking down the road saying, you're going to die real soon. I think God would be nicer to tell you things, right? Right? He'd say, you know, you're coming home with me. You'd be happy, right? They say, I'm going to kill you. You're going to suffer 6 months. You'll just be in pain, racked up with pain. Well, that's not God. You know, we all want to go in a nice way. How many of you want to go in a nice way? We can arrange that. Right? we all want to go nicely, right? We can all go, we could go nicely. Not like, you know, oh, man, I wish I would have been dead 20 years ago. He's suffering for all those things. God doesn't want you to suffer. He don't want you to suffer. He wants you to just go to sleep and die. And, you know, just like that. Just all wake up in heaven. And you see all your relatives. Right? So, you know, Hebrews 6 and 12 says here, the King James says, be not slothful. Maybe that's why you're having trouble with your vision. Hey, you're laughing at this, eh? Don't be slothful. But be followers of them who through faith and patience. I mean, I have faith, but patience is another thing. Right? You can have faith and say, I got a lot of faith, but I quit too soon most of the time. I don't wait. Faith and patience. What faith really is the promises of God, really, is what God says. It gives you vision, right? And patience is another story. You have to wait a long time. Yeah. Even when things go wrong, you still have to be. You don't feel anything. Here's that song we sing here. You know, Lord, if I don't even feel anything, I don't see anything, I still believe you. What's that song called? Some of you know that song. You sing it all the time, and yet you're impatient. You know what I like about it best? We used to sing songs. I sing songs of just real, like, little choruses. And they come out of me in certain times, you know. I'm singing these melodies, and it's you know, it's wonderful to sing these some courses. That they're scriptural songs, and they come out to you and they make you, they bless you prophetically. So I was listening to Brother Hagin the other day, or Ken Jr. He said he followed his dad in ministry. He used this scripture here. He said that be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And we look around our lives, in our own lives, like he uses his dad. I mean, I look around people in my own life that I follow that are doing something for God. They remained doing what they're supposed to do. They didn't get moved away because of finances, because of, you know, relational conflicts, disagreements. They stayed. They stayed steadfast because they believe that's what God wanted them to do. They stayed where God wanted them to be. They did what God wanted them to do. And so he said, he when he followed his dad, he said he never lost his joy. I never seen my dad lose his joy. He said, I never saw my dad discouraged. I didn't see him ever complain about what he was going through. He said, people talk about him all the time and said all kinds of nasty things. He said he never complained about it. Never told anybody anything, how bad he was having it. He said he never complained. He said, I followed him all the way through. He said he never spoke an unkind word about anybody. One time a guy was telling him, you know, I mean, this is Brother Hagin, and he came to this fellow that were at a place there, and this guy came over to him and told him all these things about. And all he said was, yes, sir. And he said, bless you. And that's all he said. And somebody said, why doesn't he just take up for himself? Why doesn't he stick up for himself? Why doesn't he do something? Well, he just turned the other cheek. It's like Jesus said, right? So he always believed in God. He always kept his focus. And one thing he always did, which I believe you should do, is that read literature that will help you stay strong. Last night I read something, a devotional with my wife. I read a devotional we were reading concerning a certain area of our lives. So I read this devotion with my wife, and the last thing we did last night, we read a devotion. We never get tired of it. And we stay strong. Somebody told us, you know, I worked with my wife for almost 20 years at the college teaching, and we work, we come here, we work all day, and then we do the Spirit of Life thing. Somebody asked us, don't you get tired of your wife? Don't you get tired? I said, don't you get tired of your husband? One preacher lady told my wife in the city, she said, don't you ever get tired of listening to your husband preach? She said, I get tired of listening to my husband preach. My wife said, no, I never get tired of my husband. That was not a statement of faith. It was just like, I just love hearing my husband. You know? But, you know, you have to stay focused. Right? So, read literature. We were reading literature. That'll help you. So I don't know about you. Is there a certain literature you read at night to stay focused? Whenever I'm discouraged or whenever I want to kill somebody. There's a book called Love by Brother Hagin. Love the Way to Victory is called. I would say I gave it to, what's his name there? Robbie Ahuja. I said, you know, Rob, you need to read this book. He said, that's the thing that helped him. And there's times I come into church, I want to kill somebody. You ever feel like killing somebody? You kill about 7 guys coming to church in your mind. You know, people think crazy things. I mean, the devil will bring that to you, especially if you're mad. People say, I never think that way. Oh, yeah. But, you know, read things that will help you. So I read different things that will help me in certain areas. If it's finances, I'll read on finances. If it's walking in love, I'll read on walking in love, how to forgive people. And one thing that don't bother me anymore is getting mad at people in the past. I don't ever do that. I don't ever think about it. I hate these people in my past. I just let it go. It, there's no use to having it. It just takes away your happiness and joy. And so just leave it alone. Look to your neighbor and say, leave it alone. So, you know, we have to continually Look at things that help us. What helped you last year? Do it again this year. Find somebody that you can help. You know, we met last month there about a bunch of our pastors, you know. We asked a question. What do you do when you need to talk to somebody? Who do you go to if you're frustrated in ministry? When you get discouraged? When you're hurt? Who do you talk to? And people say, well, I use my wife. Well, that's good. But you need other people. I have a pastor. I go to him regularly. And he phones me. I phone him. And it's been how many years now? I need it, 30-something years. Pastor Rick calls me. He sends me a message almost every week. I send him a message every week. We talk. We have a good relationship. If I have a trouble, I can call him anytime, night or day. If I call him today, come on over. He'd be over here tomorrow. And we've had that relationship all those years. And we talk about different things. My first pastor, I was able to tell about everything, about my sexual life, my finances, my children, everything. Just talk, tell him everything. Tell her everything. My wife, they say, so why? What are you doing? Like, you need a mentor. If you really want to change, you need somebody to be honest with you. Right? You can't just have people who just tell you the nice things. You got to have somebody who really be honest with you. You know what? You look fat in that dress. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need some exercise. Right? So you need somebody to tell you plainly. Honey, how do I look in this dress? My wife will never ask me that. They say, oh, isn't this a little small? Maybe we should go back to Sears. There's no Sears here, right?
No.
To Walmart. No. And we have a good time with my wife. She tells me some pretty good things, too. Yeah? We still have a friendship after all these years. I think Kelly needs to talk to Nathan a little bit. Hey, Nate? You're laughing right now. You'll be crying later on. Pastor. You know, God's trying to make it clear for you. Vision. What you need to do. So one thing you could do, John 16:13, you know, someone can always tell you the truth. But Holy Spirit will always tell you the truth. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll tell you everything. And I know the other day, you know, you ever throw something out of your car? I had a little ball of Kleenex and I threw it out. The Lord says to me, don't do that. It'll disintegrate. It'll go right. So don't do that. You know, so what I have to do? Well, that's why they have workers here, Lord. Well, nobody wanted to pick up your snotty rag. You got to pick it up yourself.
Amen.
So he'll guide you to all truth. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard, and he'll tell you about the future,
Amen.
About things to come. So he'll tell you things. So, hey, if you don't exercise, you're not going to make it. You got a plan. You know, I remember the Lord spoke to me about 2 years. He said to me, you need to cut out on the sugar. Well, I love sugar. I'm addicted. And so the doctor said to me a couple of times, hey, you know, your sugar is a little high here. He didn't say anything, but he says, it's coming up. A couple of years, same thing. He says to me, you know, listen. Finally got tired of me. Listen. This is coming up. You better change something. So I changed it. And instead of eating sugar at night, I eat it in the morning. I changed it up a little bit. I just stopped talking. You know, I changed everything. When you get a scare medical, you make every change. You want everybody else to change. Your wife, the dog, everybody. Don't even look at me. So when we change, you know, if you're a smoker, I don't know how many smokers you have in here, but we won't take any hands. If you smoke, chances are, if your wife or husband is addicted to, they're not going to quit because you smoke. It's easy if you do it together, right? So addiction and this is the same run as in our home, same thing. My wife doesn't take too much sugar. And she'll eat other things. We won't say anything, honey. So refocus. So sometimes you might be enjoying something a little bit too much, and you might have to taper down a little bit this year. So some of you have been traveling too much. You know, I know when we leave here, Pastor Ken and I drive down the road, he's eating like crazy. Let's stop here. Let's eat this hot dog. Now, I'm blaming him because I was actually the one that's egging him on. Yeah, go get some for you and me. So you need to encourage each other. And here's something you can do. Don't force any other new plan. Just refocus. Adjust your view, whatever God, you know, whatever he's asked you to serve something, him, adjust your view about serving. Some are trying to stay away or trying to stay where they're comfortable. But sometimes, you know, it takes some uncomfortableness to move and make that change. So God is trying to get you to move out of something that's uncomfortable. For me, it was uncomfortable not to have any sugar. That was uncomfortable. So I had to make that change. But, I still have sugar, but not like I used to. I cut off all O. Henry Myers. But Kit Kats, I have. No, I had to make the adjustment, right? I don't eat any more, I don't go, I sometimes I drive here, I just, I'm going to go for coffee, I just go and get a coffee, and I'll go to the Kern River Bakery. How many of you have ever been to the Kern River Bakery? Oh, it's beautiful. I get those bulla, Anita, I get that, I get that. This is big. If it was bigger, I'd get it. I'll eat about half of it by the time I get here. And I had to make that adjustment. Now I don't go get the bulla anymore. I don't get that baking. I get go to Maxine's, get the bannock. So you make an adjustment. No, look at this here. Acts chapter 20 and 22 and 24. Let's go ahead and read. I know time is flashing here. And now Paul is saying here to the people, I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me. Except the Holy Spirit tells me in every city after city that jail and sufferings are ahead. That's a hard thing to do. If it was me, he said, I ain't going there. He said, but my life is worth nothing unless I use it to finish the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. So, he had to make an adjustment, of course, on going somewhere where it's going to cost them something. I remember doing some things in ministry. I never wanted to make adjustments because ministry encroached on my personal life. I used to play hockey 5 times a week. Since I was a kid, I'd travel weekends. I'd go to hockey everywhere. People paid me some money, and I'd go. And we'd travel around everywhere. And I'd play in the weekdays. And when I was in ministry, I had to stop. It was difficult for me to stop something I did since I was a kid. I have friends today that are in their 60s. They're still asking me, come on, play. I said, I quit 20 years ago, 25 years ago. I still couldn't play back then even. This is just, you're tired. My wife said, just do it once a week. Well, you can't do that once a week. You have to do it at least 5 times, 3 times a week at least to make it worthwhile. So this man said, I'm going to go anyway. Paul said, I'm going to go. I know the Spirit said, go this direction, but he tells me there's going to be tough days ahead. I know the Lord said that to me. I want you to go this direction, but here's going to be some tough times ahead. Listen, here's what Brother Hagin told us. He said, every time the Holy Spirit moved in some spectacular way to tell me something about doing something, it was always tough things ahead. Here in this scripture we just gave you, Acts 20, the Lord moved in some special way for this man, telling him that, go ahead this direction, but there's going to be tough times. You'd better be happy that God never showed up in a special way, right? Because, you know, it's going to be as usual, just continue to move on direction. So here's what we say here. If you don't feel qualified, you know, another thing about it, don't force the plan. Adjust your vision of serving God. If you don't feel qualified, many people don't feel qualified to do a lot of things. But if God told you to do it, then he told you to do it. Like with the television thing, that's just a good example for me that you all can remember, or at least relate to. When the Lord spoke to me about the TV thing, it wasn't like my idea. I didn't want to do this. I just don't need another pressure to do what I'm doing. You know, I have trouble trying to get money for my own house, let alone a television ministry or a church. And the Lord says, that's what you're going to do. I had a prophetic word, had a vision, and I had to go through the whole gamut of emotions, because some of you right now are making decisions about things. You're going through a gamut of emotions, and all kinds of things are going through your mind. But the thing about it, if God told you to do it, you go ahead and do it. Amen. And he doesn't ask you first if you're qualified. He asked me, did you ever run a television program show before? Do you know about the TV equipment? Well, I didn't know anything. So I had to follow God. And I was afraid that no one's going to support it. You know, I think that man said we had about, we got several thousands of dollars. I think he said that. At that time, I think it was 20 years ago almost now, like 50, I'm not sure how many, 17 years ago. He says, you know, we get donors that are coming in here. I can't remember what it was. It was $12,000 or $16,000 a month just to run the program. And when I took it over, guess how much I had? I had $4,000 a month to run a television ministry. And that was scary. And I tried to claw and do different things. But the Lord says to me, listen, after all that fussing, I said, didn't I call you to do it? We'll provide for it. Amen. And the Lord provided for it. It's still for the television. Like, you know, we don't take money out of our funds here and give to the television. It works together, right? So if you don't feel qualified, Galatians 1:1, whatever you're doing this year, read this letter. It says, Paul says, Galatians 1:1, this letter is from Paul the Apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or of human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised him from the dead. That clears everything up, doesn't it? You know, here's what Brother Hagin said to me, or us. He said to us, here's what I want to ask you. It's the first year of Bible training. He says, first thing I want to ask you, there was 2,200 of us students, 2,200 of us students. He said, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, did God call you? Right? If you're going to go to ministry, a lot of people go to ministry in Rhema for different reasons. If you just go there just to be better a Christian, then that's going to be good for you. But he said, did God call you? And that's the main thing. Because there's going to be a time you have to know whether God called you to do whatever you're doing. And you got to get refocused again. He said, no human authority called me. No organization called me. But God himself called me. When I was driving down the road from the University of Manitoba right to the Pembina Highway, the Lord Jesus Christ came there and told me I was called to ministry. Now, everything didn't fall into place right away. Just like the man we talked about. He was in a jail. He killed his girlfriend's boyfriend. This sounds funny, right? He kills this guy who's having an affair with his... He goes to jail. He goes to prison. In prison, the Lord Jesus Christ himself appeared to him. He said, I'm going to get you out of here. All right? He waited 1 week, 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. But the Lord got him out. Faith and patience. He came out. Now he's a full-time minister. Right? So it might not happen the way you think. You imagine it. If you don't feel qualified, don't, you know, if it comes from somebody, they can take it away from you. But if God gave it to you, you're not gonna lose it. So stay focused. If God says whatever he said to do, you go ahead and do it. And be happy with what you got. right? So like here, me, years ago, I'm driving down the road to do a Bible study over in Nipigon, and I'm complaining to God. It was snowy after work, you know, from the college and coming here and spending an afternoon. I'm driving down the road and complaining to God. The Lord said to me, did I call you to do it? I said, yeah. Then you wipe away those tears, stop complaining, and when you get there, you tell them people there, tell them how happy you are to be there and that you're with them. The same thing in Geraldton. For 5.5 years, every Thursday night, for 5.5 years, me and this man drove here every day for 5.5 years, every day. Snow, winter, rain, whatever it is, we went. Hot, when everybody is in the beach, we went. Right? Why? Because God said it. And when I got, you know, tired of it, the Lord said, did I tell you to do it? Then you go ahead and enjoy yourself. Did I learn something and made a lot of money? Well, I learned lots, but I didn't make a lot of money. But it pays off. I thank God for whatever he done in my life. He has tremendously blessed me. Tremendously blessed me. And the way people have been, you know, giving towards this ministry is astronomical. The way we paid off bills here, I mean, we didn't do extra things. People have been giving, you know. It's so wonderful when we follow the plan of God. I mean, did we get short sometimes? We ran short a little bit, but we made it. We made the adjustments. And you need to make your adjustments tonight before midnight. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close. Thank you, Lord. We can go on and on and on. But who can? Why stretch it out, eh? Thank you, Lord. Did you get something out of this? Or? Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Lord God. Well, I want to say I appreciate all the staff, every person online. I know some of you are not here this day. You're in another town, another village. And we appreciate all the help all year long. It's wonderful to serve with you. Wonderful. And by the way, thank you for all the gifts and cards. It's wonderful to be loved, to be appreciated. Right? Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to thank you this year. Again, we finish off this year, 2023. We thank you that we are leaving and going to a new year. We expect nothing else but good. You said, I know that plans I have for you, says the Lord. A plan of good, success, and with no disaster. So we thank you for it. We know the enemy will try to bring the disaster. We know that he's planning the no good part. But we don't pay attention to him. We don't focus on him. We focus on you. What you said to do, we will do. And so we adjust ourselves that no matter what it is we encounter, we know that you'll never leave us or forsake us. And that all the plans that you have for us, you said all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so we make ourselves to be in your purpose, to do your thing, to do what you want us to do. And so we're going to rejoice all year this year. We're going to be happy no matter what state we're in. Whether we have enough money or less money, Paul said, I'm happy no matter what. Thank you.